Tzadi Aleph. So we got seven lines down to the Tashma. The Gemara had been talking about the Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion in the Braisa that the Isser of Gid Anasha only applies to the Yarech HaYamin, the right thigh, the right Gid Anasha. And the Gemara wasn't sure, was he Pasha, was he is a Pshitele, that it definitely applied to that one and not the left one? Or he wasn't sure, but he was known to lean towards that area to he was inclined to suggest it was the right one, but he wasn't for sure. So Gemara is bringing another couple of proofs here to try to prove whether or not he says it was Vade the right leg, or he just inclined to, but doesn't know for sure. So Gemara says, around the seven lines down, says, Tashma, Achal Mizev Kazayis Mizek, Achal Mizek Kazayis, Mizek Kazayis, Yitzha Kazayis from this Gidon Asher, Yitzha Kazayis from that Gidon Asher, Sofeg Shimonim. He gets 80 lashes, which are considered two sets of lashes. He violated the Isser twice, eating two Gidon Ashers. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Sofeg Ela Arbam. He thinks you only get 40 lashes. So forgetting the 40 and 80 right now, just in terms of getting lashes at all, so the Gemara says, Iyamrit Bishama Mifshap Shitale Shapir. If Rabbi Yehuda knows for sure that the right leg is Vada Yitzha Gid Anasha, so that's why you get Malkos. Eliyam, if you're going to say Svukim Esafkele, that he's not sure if it's the right or the left one, Havile Hasra Safik, that becomes, I'm warning you, don't eat that one, I'm not really sure if that's really Asr or if that one's really Asr, but that's considered a Hasra Safik, and we learned before, Vishma Inan Leila Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Hasra Safik, Lo Shmeh Hasra, and one cannot give Malkos unless there's a Vada Hasra here. So since it's only Hasra Safik, since we're not really sure which is the one that's Asr, it shouldn't lead to Malkos according to Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra Safik Lav Shmei Hasra? The Sani, the Braisa tells us the individual we're talking about, he wasn't sure who was his father. So he hits one of those cases, a situation where the mother didn't wait Shlosha Chadashim. Halach is a woman gets divorced, a widow, she needs to wait 3 months to get remarried because then we don't know who the father is. So it was a Safik Ben Tes Lazeh, 9 month pregnancy from the first husband, or a Safik Ben Zion Lazeh, or 7 months from the new husband. So we're not sure who the father is. So it can't be a case widowed, it has to be a case where they're both alive. So she got divorced. So both of the possible fathers are alive, and this child who doesn't really know who his father is, he hits father A, then he hits father B, or kila zevikachazavachalazeh, he curses the first one, then curses the second one, and hikashneim vasachas, he hits both of them at the same time, or shekil shneim vasachas, he curses both of the fathers at the same time. All those scenarios, whether bezacharzeh or bevasachas, the Tanakhama holds, he's chayv. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bevasachas chayv. If you hit both of them at the same time, then you're chayv. But if it's bezacharzeh, if you hit father A, and then father B, your putter, because it's a hasra safik. I said, don't hit him because he might be your father, but don't hit him because he might be your father. That's considered hasra safik, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says putter. So here's, well, by the case of Gid Anasha, if you're not really sure if this right leg or the left leg is the Isser Gid Anasha, that would be hasra safik, and there shouldn't be any malchus. Therefore, it must be that Rabbi Yehuda knows for sure that the Gid Anasha is the right leg. So the Gemara says, no. Hi Tana, this Brisa, our Brisa above, Savrla Ki'idach Tana Rabbi Yehuda, holds like a different Rabbi Yehuda. There's a machlokas, what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita actually was with respect to Hasra Safik. So what's the other opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Damar Hasra Safik Shema Hasra. It is actually called Hasra. What's the proof? Desana, we saw this discussion earlier in the Masechta, that lo sasiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave any noser until the morning. It's a violation to leave anything left out from the Mizbeach, Anidin, from the carbon anidin. The ba kasu liten ase acher lo sasei. But the pasuk says, if one does, so then the halacha is that that no sumi menu ad boker ba'ish tisrofu. So then you burn it. You shouldn't leave it out. There's a lav. But if you do leave it out, you burn it. So this is what's called a lav anitek laase. So the pasuk says, ba kasu liten ase acher lo sasei, to give an ase after the lo sasei has been violated. Lo miller. She'ein lokan alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't get malchus on this, because whenever there's a lava hanitek lase, the ase protects you from getting malchus. That's the reason why there's no malchus according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov Omer lo min Hashem huzeh, that's not the reason why. Ella mishim dehav alav she'ein bo ma'isa v'cholav she'ein bo ma'isa ein lokan alav. The reason why you don't get malchus is because you haven't done any actions. It was passive. You just waited. So what do we see from here? We see from here, either way, that had it not been for the situation of a lav anitek lase, had it simply just been a lav of leaving it out, Rabbi Yehuda would have said, you do get malchus. But why is there malchus? Isn't there a suffix? You're not really sure if he's going to leave it out or not. It becomes a case of a hasra suffix, in which case we see, even though there's a hasra suffix here, it still would have been a malchus had not been for the assay after the fact. Okay, so therefore there is no proof from this Braisa whether, again, Rabbi Yehuda knows for sure that the Isser Gid Anasha is only the right leg, or he's unsure which one it is. But he just noted to say it's the right leg. So Gemara attempts to bring one more Tashma. Last four narrow lines of the Amud here. Tashma, achel shnei gidim mishnei yurechos mishnei behemos. You eat two gidanashes from two different legs, from two different animals. You're sofeg shmonim, sofeg peh. You get 80 lashes. That's two sets of lashes because you ate iser gidanashe, two different gidanashes. Rabbi Huda Omer ain sofeg ela arbam. You only get 40 lashes. That's one set of malchus. So the Gemara says, midekamer mibeiz yirechos, and mibeiz behemos, pshita, d'tavayu li'isura. From the fact that it says you're getting two legs from two different animals, so then that indicates they're both from the right. Rashi says, it sounds like the same exact chefza, where they're two different animals, but it's the right leg of each of the animals. So, and we see from here that even Rabbi Huda agrees you're getting malchus here. So it must be, Rabbi Huda itzrichla, shmamina, mivsha pshitilei, shmamina. From the fact that the Brisa seems to indicate we're talking about the same exact limb of both animals, and Rabbi Huda says you get malchus, it must be it's pashatim, that it's the right leg that has itzer gidanasha. So the Gemara says, if pshitilei, if it's really true that it was so obvious to Rabbi Huda that the right leg is where the gidanash is found, amai sofe gemem, why you get arbaim v'sulau? If he's eating two gidanashes, it should result in 80 lashes, not in 40 lashes. So there's something strange about this. So the Gemara says, no. Really, Rabbi Huda holds, vadai, it's the right leg that has the gidanasha. So why are you getting only 40 lashes here? Why only one set of lashes? That there is no kezias in the gidanasha. We saw this also earlier in the Masechta, I think the parak itself, we saw this earlier, that there wasn't a kezias. Rabbi Huda says a birya b'fnei atzma, even though it might be an entity in its own right, if it doesn't have a sheer kezias, you don't get malchus. And this is a case where each of them in their own right don't have a sheer kezias, but in totality they do. Desanya achlu v'ein bo kezayis chayiv, but Rabbi Huda Omer ad sheyehe bo kezayis. If one eats a gidanasha, you're not chayiv according to Rabbi Huda until there's a kezayis. So even though you ate from two different animals, since it amounts to only a kezayis, that's why he only gets one set of malchus. But we do see from here clearly from Shitas Rabbi Huda that the gidanasha is vaday found in the right leg. Okay, Gemara now says three lines down. Taima. So what happened to my thing here? Let's take a picture of me. Okay, there we go. Fine, so the Gemara now says, time am I. So now, what's the reason why? Why does Rabbi Huda think that it's the right leg? What's his reason that the Gidanash is only found in the right leg? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Hayarech, it says, the Yarech. What's the Yarech? Or the, yeah, it says, Hay. So the answer is, Miyumenes Shebe Yarech. The right leg, when we say ha-the, it's always the one that sticks out, the one that we know. The right is always the stronger side. So when it says ha-yarech, it's meaning the right leg it must be referring to. That's the understanding of Rabbi Huda. Rabbanan say, no. Ha-hu depashit isura bekulo yarech lafuke chitzom dilab. What's telling us here is that the isur applies to the entire yarech. And Rashi explains to all the different parts of the thigh, it expands itself. It's referring to the inner gidanasha that's there, to the exclusion of the right leg. Hayarech means the main part of each of the yerechim, of each of the legs, meaning the inside, but not the outside one. That's what ha means, the inside gid, but not the outside gid, but nothing to do with the right leg versus the left leg. Rabban holds it's equally usher in both legs. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, he has a different reason how he knows Rabbi Yehuda thinks that only the right leg has the Issa Gidanasha. What's his Svara? It says in the Pasuk, we know the source of Gidanasha is found from Yaakov fighting with the Sarshal Esav. They're having that whole wrestling match. And the Pasuk, it says, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Kra, it says in the Pasuk, when they're busy fighting, Beha'avko, Imo, when they're busy struggling, they're rolling around in the dust. So ke'adam shechovek es chaveru, like one man grabbing or hugging another man. V'yodam magas lekaf yumino shechaveru. So if I give you a hug, my right hand wraps around your body and ends up reaching, if I have long arms, but it's towards your right leg. So that was the image that's taking place there. So since we assume the right hand of the Sarsha Ace is a stronger hand, his right arm wrapped around to the other side, to the right leg of Yaakov Avinu. That's how we know it's the right leg. That's Rabbi Huda knows it's the right leg. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Ko'ovid Kochavim Nidmalo. When Yaakov saw the Sarshal Esav, it appeared to him as a goy. And whenever there's a guy, there's a klal, delmar mar, when you're next to a non-Jew or walking in the by yourself in the Laila, or Yisrael shenitpala over kochavim bederech, if you encounter a guy in, walking along the way, toful yamino, make sure he's on your right side. Why? Because in case he attacks you, your right side is there to protect you, to push him away, to hit him, to do something. So you want him always on your right side, which is your stronger arm, typically, and that's why you're keeping him on the right. So when the Sarsha Esav injured him, he was injuring the right side of Yaakov Avinu. And then Rav Shmuel Bar Acha has a complete opposite understanding. Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, Kamei Dirapapa, Mishmei Dirava Bar Ula, Amar, Ketam Rechachem Nidmelo. The Sar Shal Esav appeared like a Tam Rechachem, a very prestigious individual. And there's also a cloud that you have to keep the Tam Rechachem to your right. Damar Mar, Hamahalech Liyamin Rabo Hareze Bor. If you walk to the right side of your Rebbe, that's considered a boor, a person who lacks intelligence, an ignorant person. So you walk to the left side of your Rebbe. So the Malach looked like a Rebbe. So he's on the left side of the Rebbe. That means Yaakov's right side was right next to the Sarsha Esav. That was the area that was vulnerable and eventually injured. And so that's the understanding. So there are a few different sources how Rabbi Yehuda knows it was the right leg that was injured, and that's why the Isser Gidon Asha only applies to the right leg. Rabbanan says, Me'achorai asa v'nasha b'tarvayu. Rabbanan say, no, he wasn't walking next to him. He came from behind. He ambushed him from behind. The Sarsha Esav jumped, pounced on him from behind, and injured both of the legs. So there's a debate. In Metzias, what happened? Was only one leg of Yaakov injured, or were both Gidon Asha's injured of Yaakov Avinu? Gemara now says, darshing some of the words that appear in that story of Yaakov and the Sarsha Esav, Rabbanan hai be'avako imo mai darshibe. They don't darsh in the word behavako imo. What do they learn from that word then? So darsh be mi bayle lichad idach Rabbi Shimon Levi. There's a different drasha attributed to Rabbi Shimon Levi, which is damer Rabbi Shimon Levi melamed shehelu avak miraglosam ad kisei hakavod. That when they're busy fighting, the dust was coming up so high it was actually able to hit the kisei hakavod. How do we know? Ksiv hacha behavako imo, that they're dusting together, if you will. They're creating dust. Uksiv hasim. It's written elsewhere in the pasuk in Nachum. It says v'anan avak raglav, that the cloud and the dust of the legs, which is a reference to the dust below the kisei hakavod. So through this gzeir shavam of some sort in Gadatah, we're able to assume that the avak climbed all the way up to the kisei hakavod. Further, says Rabbi Shimon Levi, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, lama nikra shemo Gidon Asha. Why is it called Gidon Asha? So shenasha mimkomo v'ala, where the gid was nasha mimkomo, it was removed from its place, it was uprooted from its place. That's lashon of nasha. I think Rashi al-Torah connects this to the name of Menashe, v'nasha nashani elokim. He connects these two together. So lashon of forgetting something, that Yosef forgot nashani elokim by calling Menashe, he forgot where he came from. So this is what it means. Gidon Asha means it was uprooted. The Chayin Hu Omer, it says as follows, another pasuk to just prove this point. It says, Nashisa Gvurasam Hayu L'Nashim, that the Gvura removed was replaced and it went to the women. So then Nashani means some type of movement, some type of Akira. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, what does the pasuk mean when it says this pasuk in Yeshayahu, that the Gemara doesn't accurately quote the Gemara, so I'm going to read it as it's mentioned in the pasuk. It says, Davar Shalach Adosh Hashem B'Yakov, that Hashem sent something to Yaakov, the Nafal B'Yisrael, and it fell upon Israel. What does that mean? So Gemara darshins, Davar Shalach B'Yakov, that which was sent to Yaakov, Gidon Asha, that Isser of Gidon Asha was sent to Yaakov in particular. The Nafal B'Yisrael, which meant it fell to Yisrael, Shepashat Yisur B'Chol Yisrael. It was accepted. The Yisur was prevalent throughout all of Klai Yisrael. Okay, so it just indicates there were two stages in the giving of the Gidon Asha. First it was given to Yaakov, and then given to all Klai Yisrael. When the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, he delineates all the Targ Mitzvot. He gives a whole history of, you know, the Milo was given to Avram, and it was given to everyone. Avram wrote, you know, he created Shacharis, and then Yitzhak came along, he created a Mincha, and Ma'aseh Kesafim, and then Yaakov and Gidon Asha. So there's a whole development how initial certain mitzvahs were given to individuals, and then from there it was expanded to the Klal. So that's what this Pasuk in Nachum is really referencing. The Gemara now says, V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Ma'idichse, what does it say in the pasuk? We saw this pasuk quoted also earlier. There's a pasuk when Yosef had the brothers come down to Mitzrayim and the food was being prepared. It says in the pasuk, And the tvicha lashon is shechted an animal and you prepare the suda. I mentioned this last time as well. The last five letters of tavach v'hachein are lashon letters of Chanukah scrambled together. This is one of the makoros of Chanukah being hinted at in the Torah. So some say that, I think the Rokeach writes, that there's an inyan to have a suda on Chanukah as well, even though typically we assume Purim is about a suda and Chanukah is about the mitzvahs of Neres Chanukah, not about sudas. There is some remez to having a suda Chanukah based on the tavach, tavach v'hachein, and these letters are found here. Fine. So what do we learn from the pasuk? Para lahen beis hashchita, when they did the shchita, so they exposed, they show the whole animal, the whole head. Rashi explains five lines up. Upar lahen beis hashchita shlo yomu baser nechira ani ochel. They didn't want to have anyone assume that I was eating nechira animal that was just killed improperly. Shebnei Yaakov shomei mitzos hayu. Says Rashi, the Afa Pishlo Nitna Torah Mukubam Hayu Mavosam. They had a certain tradition they had from Yaakov and from Yitzhak and Avram to follow the halachas of Shechita. So when they prepared, they wanted to show the brothers, you see, we shechted it properly according to your liking. And then it says in the pasuk Vachain means back to the Gemara, Tol Gidanasha Bifneim Hachain means they prepared it. They removed the Gidanasha in front of them. This way they were comfortable eating the food. And this is all under the assumption, command Damar, that Giranashar is Neser Livnei Noach. This would only be relevant because the Bnei Yaakov at the time were Kodem Matan Torah, which means they're Bnei Noach. So this is only true if you assume that Giranashar is Aser to Bnei Noach. Like we saw earlier, this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, last four lines, the Gemara still darshaning the story of Yaakov and Sasha Esev. The Pasuk says, Vayivasu Yaakov Levado, and Yaakov was all by himself. So what was he doing by himself? Famous Gemara, Rashi quotes Al Torah. Amir Bilazar and Shinishtair al Pachm Katanim. He had left behind some Pachm Katanim, some small jugs, which they say is a reference to the Shemen, Pach Shemen, a reference to Chanukah, another reference to Chanukah here in the Sugya. So he went back to find the Pachm Katanim. And Mikan le Tzadikim Shechaviv Alem Mimamonam Yosem Yigufam, that he was willing to get himself in danger, put himself in danger by walking by himself in the night to dangerous areas just to save a little bit of money. What was the reason? He didn't want to ever have to rely on Gzeila Chas V'Shalom, so they had to make sure that any money, any property they had to hold on to, to avoid all possibility of being having a taiva for Gzeila at all. So that was the dim. To actually bring this as a raya, there's a discussion about, when it comes to Baal Tashkas, how does one violate the Isser of Baal Tashkas? So it's clear from the Rambam, and the Chazon Ish says this, one only violates Isser Baal Tashkas if you destroy something actively, you're proactive and you rip a shirt, or you break something. But if a person is passive and let something just die, if you let your trees and your fruit trees just rot and die, there is no violation of Baal Tashkis Mikra Din. But that being said, the Chazon Ish says, but from the sugi we see from Yaakov, even though there's no Isser Baal Tashkis, if you don't do anything actively, still nonetheless there's an inin to protect things and to preserve things, even though there's no Isser Baal Tashkis at hand. Okay, the Gemara now says last two lines of the page. Again, we're still on the same topic. The Gemara says, "Vayavek ish imo adalosa shachar." So the two Yaakov and the Sarsh Esau were busy struggling and wrestling until the morning. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikan l'tam l'chacham. From here we see that tam l'chacham, in this case, is Yaakov Avinu shel yatzi yichidi b'layla. He should not go out by himself b'layla. So before I turn the page, Rashi says the reason is because he's might get endangered. V'huzak, he might get injured. Tosis writes in the bottom here, last Tosis on the page, Mikan l'tam l'chachem, shelo yotze yichidi b'layla, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the dafka naka tam l'chachem, only tam l'chachem is endangered. A person who's not a tam l'chachem, a regular Amharet, can walk by yichidi b'layla. Why? Bishim de mazikin miskanin behem, because the mazikin, the various forces out there, are jealous of a tam l'chachem. As we say in the Gemara Brachos, kidamrinan shlosha tzrichem shimer, the three individuals who require protection, a melech, a tam l'chachem, and a chasen, they all need it. So since there's a certain jealousy amongst the mazikim, whatever that means, therefore he can't go out by himself. This way he won't be in danger. The Tosus concludes, V'hada Amran Bereish Pesachim Daf Beis, right in the beginning of the second Pesachim, it says, Li'ol Michanis Adam Bechitov, a person should always go Bechitov, Demashma Bechol Adam. So every person, Midilot Naka Tam Chacham. So a person should always walk during the daytime, never go by himself at night. So this is not exclusive to Tam Chacham, it applies to every individual. The Tosfos is Mechalek Hasam, the Gemara Pesachim, where it says Kol Adam, that's Mari Berachok Min Ha'ir. When you're very far from the city, Bifnei Machsholos Valistim, you're scared of people. If you're going far, if you're miles away from a city, don't leave your tent, don't leave your cabin at nighttime, even a regular person. If it comes to Talmud Chacham, even if he's not far from the city, just strolling the streets at nighttime is dangerous, because now we're not scared of people, we're scared of different forces, different mazikin, which can endanger Talmud Chacham, a melech, or a chasm. Gemar now says, last few lines of the Amr, and we'll turn the page, Rabbi Abba Barkana Amar Mehacha, another source he has, how do we know it's dangerous to travel at night when you're Talmud Chacham? It says, Hinehu Zore Ez Goren HaSaorim. So this is Nami, the story of Rus, telling him to go to Boaz. It's coming, the end of the day is coming. Zore means to winnow. So he's winnowing the barley in the threshing field. So go out to him now, because I know, as the sun is beginning to set, he's not going to stay in the sada by himself anymore. He's going to head home before the sun sets. So go get him now. Go chop him right now. So therefore we see that it's usher to be Yechidi Belaila. Rabbi Abo Amar Mihach, he has another pasuk. It says, Vayashkim Avram Aboker, Vayachavosh Eschamoro Vagomer. When it came to saddling the donkey to go to Akedas Yitzchak, it says, Vayashkim Avram Aboker. He waited for the morning, but he wouldn't leave until the sun rose, because it's aser for Talmud Chacham to go Yechidi Belaila. There's a Tosos here, Mehacha. He doesn't think the source is really. It says Vayashkim Avram Aboker three times in Parshas Vayera. So it's unclear which Vayashkim Avram Aboker is referring to. Our Girsa is referring to Vayachavosh Es Chamoro, referring to Akedas Yitzchak. He actually thinks he's referring to Vayashkim Avram Aboker when he woke up to Davin El Hamakom. He woke up to Davin on behalf of Stom Va'amora. So if you look at Tosos, if you want to take a look there, there's a third time it mentions it, Vayera. It's not referenced in the Tosos here at all, but it says in Vayera, when Vayashim Avram Aboker, when he woke up to send away Hagar. When he was sending away Hagar, it says Vayashim Avram Aboker, he woke up early in the morning to send her off. So we see, just as a side point, the Vayashim Avram Aboker is a very big theme in Parshas Vayera. Okay, then the Gemara says, three lines down, Rabban Amrei Mehacha. Rabban use a different source to prove to us that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't go Yechidi Belaila. And that's based on the following pasuk. It says, this is referring to Yaakov telling Yosef to go find the brothers. Leich Nare'eh is Shlom Achicha v'Shlom Shlom Hatzon, right. So it says, go out and see the piece of your brothers, a piece of the sheep. So why did it say Re'eh? So Rashi points out it has to be Re'eh during the time when people could see, which means Bayom. Wait until the sun rises and then go check on them. So there's another proof. Rav Amar Mehacha, his proof is Vayizach Lo Hashemesh, and the sun rose for him. This is referring to the story of Yaakov and Sarsha Esav again, when it rose. So then indicated that the... I was going to darshan this now, but the whole fight was over, and he was no longer in danger anymore. That's why the malach left him. So it's only dangerous balayla, not vayizrach la shemesh. So Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Shalti as Rabbi Gamliel, that's Rabbi Yeshua ba Idlis shal imaum, Shahal chulikach behema lemisha beno shal Rabbi Gamliel. So one time, these great individuals were going to buy an animal for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. So they were traveling to this in the shuk of Idla shal imaum. And there they were darshaning. It says Ksiv Vayizach Lo Shemesh, and the sun rose for him, for Yaakov Avinu. So a very strange thing. V'chi Shemesh Lo Levad Zarcha. It only rose for him, but Halol L'chol Ha'olam Zarcha. But the whole world was experiencing the sun rising. Not Lav Dafka Lo, Lav Dafka Yaakov Avinu. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shemesh Haba Ba'avuro Zarcha Ba'avur. That sun which set for him also rose for him. It was calculating some hours. We're going to see in just a moment how the sun set early on behalf of Yaakov. So now it rose early on behalf of Yaakov just to balance out some of the minutes or hours that had been changed. So what does it mean it rose for him? And it said set for him and it rose for him. So Gemara says as follows. It says, Vayita Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. We know Yaakov, he left from Be'er Sheva and he ran to Charana. And Ksiv, then it says, Vayifka b'makom, and he encountered the makom. The makom means two things. The makom means the place of Har Bayis. It also means the Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Mefarshim point out. So Vayifka b'makom, he encountered the makom. Kimata l'char, when he got to Charon Amar, he said, Efshir avarti amakom shespalu avosai. I passed over the place where my father and grandfather davened, Avram davened in Har Bayis. And it says, Yitzchak l'suach basad, he davened in the field, and I didn't daven in this place. Vanilo is palalti. To Kad Yov died to Lemehadar, when he wanted to say, they go back now to the Har Bayis and daven there, when he decided to do this. What happened was, Kup to Lo Ara, and it was Kvitz Adarach, he jumped there very, very quickly. Kaddish Baruch Hu gave him this ability. He flew over to Har Bayis momentarily. He was there, and Miyad Vayifka B'makom, and there he was standing in the place of Har Bayis, the Sada, the same exact place where his father and grandfather davened. Now, Kad Tali, we wanted to daven Baila Mehadar. He finished davening, and then he wanted to go back to where he was, back to Haran. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Tzadik Zeh Bala Bayis, a base Maloni. The Tzadik comes to my house of living, my hotel, if you will, my inn. V'yiftar below Lina is going to leave without ever sleeping over a night. Miyad Ba HaShemesh, and then immediately the Shemesh came. We see there's a big inn as a side point, so the sun set early, just to make him stay. He couldn't travel in the night, so it set. He was forced into sleeping over here. We see a very chashuv thing to sleep over in a certain place. It's not a stam thing. Having a tzaddik sleep in a person's house, there's an inyan when it comes to alila regel, to sleep over one night. There's a mitzvah of lina, it's called, to sleep over one night. So the inyan to sleep over is a chashuv thing. Mistama, the idea has to do with an neshama going up to shemayim when a person sleeps, and some deep inyanim, I imagine, having to do with that. Either way, the sun set early for him, so then he slept, and that's why it rose from early also to end the battle between Yaakov and Tzar Shel Esav. Gemara now says, darshing that story further of Parsha Vayetze, it says, "Ksiv va'yikach me'avnei ha'makum." We took from the rocks that were in that place. We all know this from when we were younger. "Uksiv va'yikach es ha'aven." He took the rock. So was it one rock or was it many rocks? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Melamich in his kapsu called Osan Avanu l'makum echad. All the rocks gathered together to one place. V'cholachas v'achas omeres. Each one said, "Alaya niach tzadik zeh rosha." I want to be the one where the tzadik places his head. Tana v'kula nivlu b'achas, until they all absorbed. They all became one rock. In this way, it was going to be, they all felt the tzaddik's rosh sleeping on top of them. And he had a dream, and he saw the ladder which was planted in the ground and up Rosh El Shemaimah. So Takama Rachbo Shasulam, how wide was this ladder? Shmones Alafim Parsos, 8,000 parsa wide, which is pretty, pretty wide. What's the calculation? It says, V'hinei Malachi Elokim Olim V'yordim Bo, that the angels were going up and down the ladder. Olim Shnaim V'yordim Shnaim. It says, Malachi Elokim, not multiple ones were going up, and multiple ones were coming down. So two up and two down. So Shnaim, again, Olam Shnaim, V'yardim Shnaim, V'chipagu v'hadeh hadadeh. So now when they cross past each other, whenever they cross, one going up, one going down, so they have to have enough to fit four angels across the way. So how wide is an angel? So we know that as well. The Pasuk tells us, Havalu Arba, there are four angels across. V'ksiv bei b'malch, it says regarding a malch, this is a Pasuk that appears in Daniel. It says, G'viyaso Kitarshis. His body was the size of Tarshis. And the Gemirid, how big is Tarshis? We have a Masorah. Gemirid de Tarshis. Tre Alfe Parsehava was 2,000 amos, 2,000 parsels wide. So if each angel was 2,000 parsel wide, and there were four angels going across, that gives us 8,000 parsel wide. That's the width of that Sulam that he had dreamed about.
What's the assumption that the Melachim are going down one next to the other one, as opposed to one on top of the other one?
I guess it says Malach Elokim, they were together. It sounded like they were a unit. There's no difference between them. They were lumped together as couples.
So they were one next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It changes my whole child.
So then they go, yeah, true. All the pictures only have like one row, one up and one down.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really up two.
Two and two.
So that's Zakta Gemara now. Tana Olin Mistaklin Bidiukno Shamala, the Yordan Mistaklin Bidiukno Shamata. They went up and they saw a certain image above, and they went down and they saw a certain image below. So Bala Sakuni, they wanted to damage, they wanted to injure him. Why? So Rashi explains here, Bidiukno Shamala, part of Adam Shibar Bachayos Bidmus Yaakov. We know that the Gemara in Chagiga tells us based on Psukim Nichezka that there are four legs of the throne, and each of the legs have a different image. It's a remez of Anochi, Anochi lo Yadati. Yaakov Venus Anochi Yadati. Anochi stands for Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, and Yaakov. That the fourth leg, one of the legs is a lion face, one's a Nesher, one's a Kruv, a baby's face, and the fourth one is an image of Adam, an image of Yaakov Venu, who was the Adam. So they saw his face, and the Malachim got very jealous that Yaakov Avinu's face was on the Kisei HaKavod. They wanted to injure him. So the Gemara explains, "Bari l'skune," they wanted to be misakin him, to give him an injury. So miyad, immediately, v'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood atop him. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, ilmalei mikra kasev yev shel omer. Without the Pasuk, I couldn't have said it, but the Pasuk Taka says this. It was k'adam shemeinev albano, like a father stands over his son, protecting him, putting his hand over from anyone trying to injure him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing on top of Yaakov, protecting him from the malachim. The land, the ground in which you lie upon. So the pasuk continued. This is also the pasuk here. It says, I'm going to give to you as to your children. So the pasuk says, Mayribu, say, what's being added in here? What's the chiddush that you're lying on? We know, of course, you lie on the ground. So the chiddush is Amar Reb Yitzchak Melamed Shekafla Kadosh Baruch Hu Lechol Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu folded up all the different parts of Eretz Yisrael. V'nichatachas Yaakov Avinu, placed it below Yaakov Avinu. Sheteinocha Likavesh Levanav. So the symbolism was Yaakov was lying down on the all of Eretz Yisrael, all in one place, which showed his control over it. What?
That's also Rashi in the Chumash.
The Rashi Nechon as well, to show that he had control over the entire land, which made it easier to conquer when the time came. So then the Pasuk says further, it says in the morning when the Vayizach LaShemesh, so now the Sarsha Esav says to Yaakov, and now send me away. It says, Shalcheini ki ola hashachar. Send me away because the morning, it's the sun is rising. So Amar Lo, Yaakov says, Ganavata, are you a robber? Oh, Kavustos Ata, are you a kidnapper, says Rashi. You're scared of the morning. Someone's going to catch you. You're going to get thrown in jail. You're going to melt from the sun. What are you scared of? So what happened? So Amar lo Malach. Malach says, Malach, I'm an angel. From the day I was born, created, this is the first time I was zoch in my life to say, Shira, this is my time. So I need to go and sing Shira. So Messiah Leili, Rav Chanan Amar Rav, this supports what he says, that Shlosh Kitos Shem Malachi Asharis Omros Shira B'chol Yom, that every single day, through three new groups of Malachim sing Shiros. Achas Omeres Kadosh, Achas Omeres Kadosh, V'achas Omeres Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. The proof is the fact that there's new people each day, new Malachim. It's not the same Malachim every single day. So that was his, this was his chance of the Sashal Esav, this is his chance to, for the first time, sing Shira. So the Gemara says, Meisiv, the problem with this statement, we just said that it takes three angels to say Kadosh, Kadosh, and then Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. So the Gemara now brings a brisa that seems to argue. Chaviv in Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoseh mimalach HaSharis. Klai Yisrael is much more chaviv to Hashem than the angels are. How so? She Yisrael omim shira b'chol shah, that we're singing shira all the time. U'malach HaSharis ain omim shira ele pamachas b'yom, they only sing it once a day. Amila, others say Pamachas b'Shabbos, they say it once a week. Amila Pamachas b'Chodesh, once a month. Amila Pamachas b'Shana, once a year. Amila Pamachas b'Shavuot, once every 7 years. Amila Pamachas b'Yova, once every 49 years. Amila Pamachas b'Olam, once in their lifetime. So we say it much more frequently than that of the angels do. And not only that, in terms of frequency, but in terms of the following, V'Yisrael maskirin es Hashem achar shtei tevos. What Klai says, willing to say, they're able to say Hashem's name, my name, Hashem says after two words, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elkeinu Hashem Echad. However, the Malachi Asharis ain't maskirin es Hashem el alachar shlosha tevos. They say, Kedichsev kadosh, 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 and then only then they say Hashem tzvakos. And then, that's the second difference. And they Malachi Asharis omim shira limala, and they also don't say on their own. They're never inspired to say Shira on their own up above until first Klai Yisrael says it down here. As it says, Shenemar says in the Pasuk, Biran Yachad, Kochvei Bakar, V'hadar, Vayariu Kobnei Elokim. So there's a Pasuk that appears in Yechezkel, the first Biran Yachad, Kochvei Bakar, the first in the morning, everyone down here is referring to Yisrael as compared to Kochavim. Right? The Avram was promised to have a Bnei Yisrael like the Kochavim, so we're considered the stars. So the stars are the ones singing Shira, and then as a response, Vayariu Kobnei Elokim, then the Bnei Elokim, the Malachim, in response they sing songs. So this is the third reason why we are more Chaviv than the Malachim. Ella, Achas Omeres Kadosh, V'Achas Omeres Kadosh, Kadosh, V'Achas Omeres Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So we see from here, I missed the question. So the question is that right, the third group said, the first group said Kadosh, second group said Kadosh, the third group said Kadosh Hashem, so they say it after already the first word, that those group of Malachim.
Everyone is saying that Tevas Hashem right. After the first Kadosh.
Right. So the Gemara says, Ella Achas, the way it works, Achas, the first, what?
Kadosh, Kadosh Hashem.
No, but the first group says Kadosh. Right. Second group says Kadosh. Third group says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. So the third group that says Hashem, it says it only after one word, while we say it after two words, Shema Yisrael Hashem. So Gemara tweaks it and says no. Ella Achas Omeres Kadosh. The first group says Kadosh. Group B, Achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh. And group C, Achas Omeres Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So we see that even the third group is only after three words.
Right.
So then the Gemara says, Vahayika Baruch, what about Baruch? Kvod Hashem im komo. Baruch Kvod Hashem is after two words. Baruch Kvod Hashem. So isn't that like we said, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Elokeinu? So Gemara says that's Baruch Ofanim Huda Amrila. They're a different group of angels. This is not Malach Hasharis. The Malach Hasharis says Ofanim. So Ofanim, they talk and say Baruch Kavod Hashem. They say after two words, but we're referring to Malach Hasharis, which have different roles.
Higher level.
Okay. Okay. And then he buys Emo. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests Kevin the Isyav Rishusa Isyav. After they said Kadosh 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 Hashem once after three words, now they have Rishus to say Baruch Kavod Hashem after the second word. But initially, they are restricted to only saying it after three words, which makes us better than the Malachim. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.